Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Paul had three shipwrecks here. This was one of them. He very well knew that not only do you got to consider the timing and put that into the GPS and the coordinate, but the second coordinate is you've got to communicate with the Lord. Paul was on praying terms.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 27. I'd like to use a navigational narration in the life of Paul as an illustration of a Bible truth that about 3 years ago I preached a form of this message, and one that I had heard probably 25 years ago preached in a form of this. And one reason that this was documented is to show how the Apostle Paul navigated his way through difficult circumstances and decisions. I know when I took Christ as my personal Savior and Lord and King in August of 1976, that life changed for me in a great way. And it was shortly after that, my wife and I, in traveling with this revival ministry, were put into a context that we were coming in contact with lots of people, lots of churches, and overwhelmingly, they were regularly asking questions about how do I make decisions. Many times these decisions were quite major. I remember a guy named Tony Sebastian who was having to make a decision about college and said, ask me, what do you think I should do? I was a ripe 20 years old and myself trying to make decisions. And I remember getting Rick Edwards that was trying to make decisions about marriage and who he was going to marry. And, you know, you try and give him advice and general thoughts, but very difficult. Many times the biggest decisions of life become quite challenging. For some, even small decisions of life become quite challenging. As we've often said to you, when you're looking at a scripture, there's three questions you want to be able to answer. One is, what does this mean when it was written? Number two, what does this mean today? And number three, most importantly, what does this mean to me? In other words, what does this mean when it was written is a simple explanation of the passage. What does this mean today? What's the exhortation? What's the specifics to us? And then what does it mean to me? What exercise do I need to put in place? I find today, for most adults, their greatest challenge is decision-making. How do I know God wants me to do certain things? I'm not talking about unsaved people now. I'm talking about people that are saved, that are desiring to do God's will. And for many, many that I talk with, there is a great fear in making decisions. Sometimes it's just a fear of failure. I don't want to make the wrong decision. Sometimes it's a fear of consequences of the decision that's made. Sometimes it's a fear of other decisions that have been made in the past by others. They see failures or seemingly wrong choices, and so they don't want to make choices. I can well remember it was a couple years after that I got saved. We were at a college, and the college president was preaching. I remember him making a number of statements that helped in his preaching to help me realize that actually I knew in my head, but I needed it. God is actually for me. He's not trying to play the shell game with me and moving these decisions. I don't have to find God's will because God's will is not lost. And some of those concepts began needing to be changed. And then I realized that the Bible was given to us as examples to help us as we see others making decisions and God leading in their lives, that it wasn't just stories to be told, but it was inspired by God so that today that application be made. And I'd like to look at this with you very briefly. We're not going to tear it all apart, but the fact is that Acts 27 is the longest navigational passage related to some water event. And so off of that idea, I want to take what we would call doing the king's will. Paul was an ambassador for the king. And his life is a great example for us as to how to make wise decisions. Many of you have made decisions in the past. You look back and think, boy, I don't know if those were the right decisions. I want to talk a little bit about that. What about future decisions? What are coordinates that I can put into, in essence, our GPS, our God's positioning of service for us? He does have GPS for you. And there are coordinates you've got to put in. If you put these in, it will help you to be able to have a confidence to know, God, I can do your, as the king, the king's will. What are those? Acts 27. Let me just give these to you. I don't think they're complicated. They're certainly not difficult. I hope they'll be meaningful to you, that you can make decisions confidently. What are those? Number one, let's look at Acts 27, because you'll end up finding in context when it was written, the story here is of Paul heading on after his first, second, and third missionary journey. He's headed to Rome. We know he's headed to Rome because it flipped back to Acts, if you would, very quickly. Acts chapter 23, Paul had a vision. Acts 23, verse 11. And the night following the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome. Or the word martyr at Rome. What did he mean? Paul knew he's going to Rome. This is his journey to Rome. And notice how God led in his life is very similar to how God would lead in your life and mine. It might not be in a boat. It might not be on the water, but the principles hold true. Notice if you would, first of all, I think what you've got to do in making decisions, you've got to consider the timing of that decision. Consider the timing of that decision. In Acts 27, you find Paul here headed out of Italy, notice verse 1, when it was determined that we, Luke and himself, which by the way, between Luke and Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. Luke actually wrote more content than Paul, but Paul wrote more books. And it was determined that we should sail into Italy and delivered Paul and certain of the prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion, one that was over 100 Roman soldiers of Augustus' band. And so Luke starts documenting where the ship went in verse 2, and the next day they touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul. Paul was being treated well for a prisoner because he was headed to Rome. Herod Antipas sent him there. Verse 4, so they launched from thence, and they sailed under Cyprus, which today is still the island there, and gospel work going on. The winds were contrary. And so they sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia and came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there that centurion found a ship. They got another big ship, a ship of Alexandria. Hence, they were sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus. The wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, which is another location that kept moving and forward Italy. And hardly passing it, they came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. And there, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast, which was the Day of Atonement, once a year, September to October, the high priest went into the temple. And that was the time it happened. Paul admonished them. And you end up finding, first of all, that you've got to consider the timing. Paul knew, just humanly we're looking now, that there were going to be difficulties on this journey. It was the time past of safe travel. And in Paul's own understanding, as he was involved with all this journey, that he knew, we better consider the timing of this decision about heading to Italy. And he was questioning it. He was wondering, is this really the timing in which we need to be heading in to open waters? I think it's a good observation that for you and I, as we look at what it means today, and then to us personally, when we make decisions, many times it's not the activity as much as it is the timing in which that decision needs to be made. Many, many times when decisions are made, it's not necessarily the decision itself as much as when that needs to be made and when that needs to be done, which someone has said wisely, God's never late, seldom early, He's always on time. Notice number two, we've got to learn as well as Paul did as he moves forward in the passage. Verse 10, he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our very lives. Listen, it's not just about the stuff you get on the ship, he's saying. It's about us, your prisoners, including myself. You know what Paul was saying? When he used the word, I perceive, it's the very word to perceive mean in past experiences. Paul had three shipwrecks here. This was one of them. He very well knew that not only do you got to consider the timing and put that into the GPS and the coordinate, but the second coordinate is you've got to communicate with the Lord. Paul was on praying terms. We don't have time to look at other passages, but basically, if you say, well, how do I know God's going to communicate to me as Paul was communicating with the Lord? God is going to end up using the instruction from God's word. You say, how do I know this communication that God's going to give to me? He's going to use God's word. Now, may I hasten to add that as God unveiled himself down through man's history, it evolved, can I use that term, in how he communicated. And I've mentioned to you before that when God first began communicating to man, he had direct communication. He primarily, as you look through the Pentateuch, particularly, God communicated primarily through the priesthood. In that particular day, and as the nation began to grow, there was the Urim and Thummim, which some would say is a variety of ways. It seems that either that breastplate lit up, and I think I've talked about this before, that breastplate lit up in the stones, or the ancient Jews in the study of the Old Testament, many suggest there was a canvas bag, and that canvas bag had two stones, and those two stones were black and white. And so, as those stones were put out onto the ground, if there were two black stones, a black and a white, and black and a white, if there were two blacks that came up, the answer was no. The two whites that came up, the answer was yes. If there was a black and a white, the answer was wait. Wouldn't you like to have a bag with two stones? Wouldn't you? I would on occasion. Wouldn't that make life a lot easier? Hey, let's see, should we spend this money? Whip those stones out. There you go. Bam. You say, well, God doesn't do it that way anymore. You're exactly right. For a while, God also used prophets, and he gave them dreams and visions. You say, what's the difference? Paul had six visions, ones in this passage. Visions were given to a person when they were awake. Dreams were given to a person when they were asleep. And so in either case, God used those many times with those prophets. And out of that direct communication of them, God spoke. There are no true prophets today. They're a spiritual gift of prophecy, but there's no genuine prophet. God's not going to speak to somebody and say, I heard directly from them, and this is what God tells you to do. That was in a time and economy that God used at that time in that period. You say, well, what does that leave us? It leaves us a more sure word of prophecy. Listen, called scriptures.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.